Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back, folks, for a bonus edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider special treat as Michigan hosted the number 2 point guard in the country last week. This right before another elite point guard comes in Seth Trimble. But we got a chance to catch up with his dad, Nathan Bradley, Coach Nathan Bradley, who was a tremendous interview, very insightful, very open in sharing that insight, very candid in talking about where Michigan fits in his son's recruitment. Makes for a special bonus edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider, especially when we have Tim McCormick, who can speak from the perspective of a player, a dad, and a coach, having coached his son. And identifying maybe the coaching traits that would work best for your son in the way that Nathan Bradley is doing with his son, Tim McCormick, a former first-round draft pick out of Michigan, 10 years in the NBA, goes on and now still in the midst of a great broadcast career doing Pistons analysis with Valley Sports Detroit, and then, of course, college basketball analysis as one of the top color commentators in the game, in my opinion. And, of course, what he brings to this podcast is second to none. So, Tim, welcome back after a short layoff, man. This is fun.
Yeah, we're getting after it, Sam. There's a lot to talk about, good stories. And, man, the future is really bright. The level of player that they're bringing in is outstanding. But I also love the depth of the kids that they're bringing in. These are not just ball players. Like, they have a plan and a vision. And they're getting coached along very well. I like what Juwan is doing.
You know, it's interesting, Tim, you being a player, I'm sure you've experienced different styles of coaching. And I'm sitting here, you know, coming up playing football as a kid. I only ever had the browbeating type of coach, the fire and brimstone type of coach. So I do have an appreciation for that style of coaching. People who complain about Tom Izzo, I say, you know what you're getting with Tom Izzo when you sign up for Tom Izzo. So don't complain, you know, don't criticize, because everyone knows the book, right? And I do think that some players respond better to that. I think it's up to a player and up to a player's family to identify what style of coaching they respond to best. So maybe you respond better to Dean Smith than you do Bob Knight, right? That's, you need to know that as you're going through the process. So I found it very interesting in talking to Nathan about, you know, what coaching style is going to work best with his son. He sort of related a story like, I would think my son should shoot more, but he's not the type of guy that I'm going to be able to say, shoot more, shoot more, shoot more, and he's going to do it. There's a particular style that he responds best to, and I learned that via coaching him, even more so than just being his dad. And I want to, you know, equate that to your experience as a player and what kind of coaching you responded to. And then as a dad coaching Kellen, did you get a better appreciation for the style of coaching that he responded to?
Wow, very good question, Sam. When Kellen, who actually, for people that don't know, he played at Western Michigan and then did a grad transfer at Georgia Tech. I started coaching him very early on, and it was after an experience when he was probably in third or fourth grade. He played for the Family, which is just an elite program in Detroit, and it wasn't a great fit for him. And as a dad, seeing what he needed to do as a player, I was on the sideline and wasn't really in a position to have that input. So I started my own program the next year, and I coached him, and I found kids that I really liked, that I liked my son hanging out with, you know, good kids, will listen, will be coached, will be good leaders. And throughout his career, I was able to subtly make messages, send messages to him through my coaching. For instance, there was a game when he was young, and I said, look, you're a shooter, you need to shoot. And if you pass up shots, you know, you're not as good a defensive player, you're not great on the boards, you've got to shoot. And he didn't shoot, and so I pulled him out of the game and didn't play him the whole second half. And by being the coach in that position, I was able to send a message that I think really helped him, that he knows if you're a shooter, you've got to hunt for shots because that's your greatest value. And when I think of Jaden Bradley, his dad, I think it's a wonderful message that he sent. I'm investing in my son's life, in his career, and I'm going to give him the type of coaching that he needs so he can become everything that his potential would dictate.
Yeah, and one of the things that he did is, obviously, he came up. He said, you know, now he's with CP3, and he said, now I truly said, now do we talk about games after 15 minutes after? But after that, I'm purely dad at that point. You know, I understand that. But that experience, you know, I know my kid better. I know what he responds to. Like, you know, when you are scolding or teaching your kid at home, just basic discipline and things to do at home, you know, how they respond in that scenario might be different than how they respond on a court. You know, how they respond in a game. Like, how do you reach them? How does that message get across? And that's why I get back to, you got to know what style of coaching works for you. And that's, you know, hearing him talk about Juwan, as you guys will in this interview, I mean, that coach, now make it, look, we saw, Juwan can get after you too now. Remember that interview we had with Zay? You know, that whole exchange. So it's not like Juwan just, you know, is Dean Smithing it up, you know, all the way throughout the season and throughout games. So he can get after you, but, you know, he's also not Mike Krzyzewski. He's not Tom Izzo in the way that he coaches either. And I thought it was pretty profound to hear, you know, Nathan or Coach Bradley talk about that with his son, saying, hey, I really feel like seeing the way he coaches, being around his coaching staff. Like, he talked about Howard Eisley. Like, you know H, Tim, he's not a very boisterous guy, right? He's not a very loud-talking guy. We'll have H on the podcast at some point, but that's, like, not his deal. He is a very matter-of-fact guy that doesn't raise his voice, but Nathan said, hey, when he speaks, the guys around him listen because they know what he's saying based on his experience as a player, based on his success now in his short term as a coach, that he's a guy you should listen to. And that's the style that I know Jaden responds to.
Yeah, and Howard Eisley is a cerebral connector. And I would imagine that there's a reason that when they were divvying up who's going to be the lead recruiter on each player, you know, why Howard Eisley was selected. Also, mm-hmm. when we listen to Jaden Bradley's father, I think that it's a really smart opportunity to build your program with kids from two-parent households. And I know things happen. Maybe that sounds unfair. Maybe it sounds a bit callous, but when you're sending a kid onto a college campus and he's got a strong dad in his life and this, you know, strong mother that has given discipline, that's laid expectations, that has brought discipline, especially if you've got a dad that's a coach in the household, That just makes a more solid kid that's capable of becoming a leader. I don't know. Does that sound unfair? Because I know that there's a lot of kids that don't have dads, but it's certainly an advantage if you've got a kid that is used to being coached by two parents all the time.
Yeah, look, I guess for me, is it an advantage? Absolutely, it's an advantage to have a two-parent household. There's no question the impact of having a father in your life. It doesn't have to be in the household. Just a father your life is absolutely huge. I guess I'm not as, for me, it's not an aspect of a young man's background that I'm hyper focused on, that I think is a factor that determines his future. Could it affect his future? Yes, it absolutely could. Does it make the challenge for you as a coach, Juwan Howard, as a coach, Phil Martelli, as a coach, Howard Eisley or Saadi Washington, to maybe fill a bigger void in a player's life? Yeah, it does increase that challenge. But I think the ceilings are just as high, provided the coaches fill those gaps. You know, those kids, I mean, Juwan Howard wasn't from a two-parent household. You know, Jalen Rose wasn't from a two-parent household. Chris Webber was, right? So, I mean, there are examples on both sides. You as a coach have to be able to meet that player where he is. But is it an absolute advantage for Jaden Bradley that his dad is in? There's just no question. I think the bigger thing for me, Tim, is whether it's your father or your guard, someone, if your coach, the person that coaches you, plays that role. So if you're, whether your dad is your coach or your coach is like your dad, and it's really that type of relationship, what that kind of player brings to a team is different. Those guys are very often coaches on the floor, and even better when they're your point guard raised by a coach, even better when they're the coach on the floor, Tim.
Yeah, and what about the advantage for Juwan Howard in recruiting Jaden Bradley? That I bet there have been 20 games that dad and Juwan have sat in the stands together, just talking hoops, talking strategy, on the AAU circuit or wherever it may be. You know, and maybe if it's not during the game, it's after the game, or it's before the game, or it's at, you know, at a school event, or there's a connection there that is very, very special. Yeah. And who can relate better to a dad than another dad that's going through that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it just so happens, you're right. They probably have spent a lot of time together because Jet and Jaden, they spent a lot of time together. They are really close. And you will hear that come across in this interview. So we'll bring him on now. Here is the father of the number two point guard in the country, father of Jaden Bradley. Here is Coach Nathan Bradley. Let's just start off first, Mr. Nathan Bradley, taking me back to when you realized that, you know, your son, you know, even before high school, I imagine there was a time where you sort of realized that his talent was a little bit different. He was a little bit better than the other kids he was playing with and against. When was that point for you?
Like, Jaden always played up. He probably never played his age until this year, 17U. Like, he's, you know, with travel basketball in eighth grade, he was playing 16U. When he was younger, he started playing basketball, like, in first grade. He was playing third and fourth grade and fifth and sixth, and then the eighth, you know, sixth grade and eighth grade, while he was in the fourth and fifth grade. So early on, we knew that he kind of had a passion for the game and he was having fun and a little bit different, because he always told him, as long as you compete on the level you're competing on and you don't look like you're playing up and you're a liability, then we're going to allow you to do that. So probably, to answer your question, about sixth, seventh grade.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, like I said, I knew it was probably early. So now, he is one of the most heavily recruited players in the country. You know game, you know ball players.
Right.
You know, you coach. Kind of, if you can, if it's possible for you to take off the dad hat for a minute and just put on the coach, the scout hat, and break down Jaden's game. Is there, give me a scouting report, is there a player in college or the pros that you compare him to, or the coaches compare him to? Kind of break down the scout for me.
Well, he compares himself to Paul George. He likes Paul George. he doesn't play like Paul George, because we always laugh like, why do you like, you don't necessarily play like that. But every when we play and we visit different cities, people always say he plays like Chris Paul.
Okay.
I think that as a coach, if the reason I will be recruiting him is because other kids like to play with him. He shares the basketball. And as a dad, putting that hat back on, it pisses me off because I want him to shoot more. we all want our kids to score the basketball. But, you know, like one of the CP3 coaches said recently, he's like, you can complain about him not shooting, but he shoots at the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, the game at the end of the game, the game's on the line, or you need a bucket where it's, the other team's on an 8-0 run. He finds a way to get to the line or gets a bucket, stop the bleeding. So he shoots at the right time. So as a coach, I definitely will recruit him because he makes kids better and guys want to play with him.
Gotcha, man. So kind of a tangent just for a minute. I just always wonder, dads who are coaches, how do you balance that, man? How do you handle, him not maybe bringing home something that you coached him to do or something that you got on him for on the court to not necessarily bring that home and make that be something that interferes with dad son time? Like, how do you balance that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have an older son who actually plays overseas now. He's in the Czech Republic, and I coached him through high school and through AAU. But my wife made a rule, and she made that rule for my older son because we would be arguing all throughout the house. The games would never end. He was, dad, I did this, I did. So she said, listen, it's a 15-minute rule. 15 minutes before the game and 15 minutes after the game if you're coaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that saved my relationship with my older son. Like, I'm a dad,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate her for that, because I think a lot of dad coaches miss out on being a dad, because when you coach, that line is so faint, and you tend to get over it and not be able to continue to communicate with your son as opposed to being a player.
Got you. All right. So going through the process with your son that's playing in the Czech Republic, how has that helped you go through the process again with Jaden?
It's a little bit differently. My older son was not like heavily recruited, as he's like the younger kids say, I got it out the mud. He was a little smaller. Like he's 6'2" now. He was smaller. He grew later. But I think that, it's always the younger one. Jaden was always tagging along with him, trying to play with him. It's a 6-7 year difference. But when my older son's friends came to the house, Jaden thought they were coming to see him. Like, those are his friends. Those are my friends. Like, Jaden, let your brother relax a little bit. He was just excited. But we just tried to make sure that, that he stayed humble, and we made him work for everything. And, by playing him up, we didn't really have to worry about people just saying, like, his age, like his group was like, he was the star of that team. He was always really good, even on those teams that he's playing up on. But he was never like head and shoulders above everybody else.
Gotcha. All right. So now that you're in the recruiting process, before we mm-hmm. talk about specific schools, give me an idea as a parent, as a dad, what are the things that you're stressing that Jaden look for? Like, what's the criteria that you want him to have in the school that he ultimately picks?
So one of the things we try to do is to provide Jaden with as much information as we can and let him decide, what he's looking for and decide what school he's going to ultimately choose. And I think Coach Howard asked him that the other day, and he said, Coach, I want a coach that's going to hold me accountable. I want good teammates in that program. I don't want a team. I want a program where, the kids aren't bigger than the program. Mm. And I want a coach who wants to win.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We as a family stress family atmosphere. I think it's a lot of programs out there that say family, but I think they leave out the word dysfunctional in the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to kind of experience a lot of that with Michigan this weekend.
All right, so let's dig into that. So, this was the first official visit, correct?
Correct, our first official.
All right. So What was it like? I mean, kind of take me through what the official visit experience was like through the lens of a first time visitor. What did you see? What stood out the most? What did they do? Kind of take me through it.
So just a quick background. We probably have been on 6 or 8 unofficial visits. Jaden started doing unofficial visits like in the 8th or 9th grade. Okay. Tennessee, North Carolina State, North Carolina, South Carolina, you know, Auburn, different schools that we have been on unofficial visits to. So we were kind of looking forward to it being all about Jaden, you know, and I could see that he was kind of uncomfortable with that a little bit because he's not a kid who wants it to be all about him. Mm. You know, just I think you can see that the way he plays on the court where he shares the basketball so much. He's not a kid who looks for the spotlight. He's not a kid like even this weekend after the picture, we're like, Jaden, you need to post these pictures. And he's like, yo, I'm excited to post them, but should I post them? Do I, you know? And I'm like, well, you know, we want to definitely let Michigan know we had a great time. Mm-hmm. And we let the world know we had a good time too. But, you know, he was kind of torn, like, I don't really want to have it about me. And of course, his first picture that he chose was a picture of us three, me, my wife, and him.
Hey, but man, that's actually, I mean, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with kids who put up photos of them. I mean, that's the age that we live in. But I must say that I find, especially with the position that he plays and the role that he has on the court, there's something to be said for a guy who says, you know, it's about the we instead of the me. I'm kind of digging the description.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing this for a while. Obviously, we did our research on you too. You know what I mean? Saying like, we know you've been doing this, and you've talked to a lot of guys and a lot of parents, a lot of players. And me being a coach, it's not a lot of guys like that. You know, you'll see guys that'll say that, but after the game, they run to the scoreboard to see how many assists or points they had. Mm-hmm. Like, my son's not going to say that. He's going to look up at the scoreboard and see, did we win? And did I do enough to win? You know, we've had situations where even this past weekend, our 7-footer was hurt, so we didn't have a big and we were playing. So, you know, 2 of the 4 games, Jaden let us a rebound. He's like, okay, I got to help rebound more. Like, he figures it out. Whatever it's going to take to win, he's going to go do it. And that's just the kind of kid he is. So on the, you know, just to kind of circle back to your question with the official visit, it was really nice just having it about him in a family atmosphere, you know, which Michigan dictated. Mm-hmm. You know, Juwan was on point with everything. And Juwan has probably an unfair advantage from the rest of the country because Jet Howard, you know, lives next door to Jaden at IMG. Mm-hmm. And they're together all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, they're together. They might be together now, actually, because Jaden's down in Miami training. So this afternoon, I'm sure they'll be hanging out again. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty close. So he kind of knows Jaden pretty well. So it was nice just having that focus on him, looking at the style of play, which I think exactly matches what he can do and what he's capable of. I think Howard Eisley brings another advantage for those guys. Being a guard who did it on a high level, who can teach it, who is not soft-spoken, but when he speaks, everybody listens to what he's saying, and I think that is exactly who Jaden is.
Mm. Mm. Okay, so was there an aspect, because it sounds like it checked a lot of boxes, but was there an aspect of the visit that stood out to you and especially to Jaden the most?
We gave Jaden that assignment, and he hasn't turned that in yet. Mm. my wife and I sat down, and we were like, Jaden, okay, we need, you know, 5 things that stood out to you the most, but we want those first 2 to be really, really strong, and we want some things that you would change about the visit. You know, not necessarily negative, or just things you would change. Mm-hmm. So he promised us that yesterday. But we don't have that yet.
All right. So give me the give me the dad perspective on that. Because I mean, you know, he has what he's looking for, which is most important. But your perception of things has some weight in this. So what did you view, your personal opinion on what stood out the most?
What stood out the most to me was like family is something that everybody preaches, and I think I mentioned that earlier. we made a transition over to talk to Coach Harbaugh, and it was probably four or five of the football staff that were there. And I, you know, for me, I just kind of sit back and watch the interaction between Coach Harbaugh and Coach Howard. And it was really seamless. They were talking, they were building, they were, you know, talking back and forth. Next thing I know, Coach Harbaugh's over there talking to me for about 20 minutes. They set up, you know, they had some other football recruits there. So they did like a photo shoot with Jaden with the football uniform on with number zero.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this is what, I mean, it was cool. You're like, we got a surprise for you guys. And I was like, we get downstairs and I'm like, what? You know, he's got football in his hand. And, you know, Coach Harbaugh was like, you know, I heard he played a little football. I was like, yeah, Jaden played quarterback. And, you know, he's a pretty good quarterback. We just decided that because he was getting the offers from basketball, that we were going to kind of shut football down. He had a couple of teammates that got hurt playing football, you know, so we were like, okay, this is where we need to be at. So that whole, you know, showing me family as opposed to telling me family stood out to me.
I got you. All right. So as far as his interaction with the guys, because, you know, that I don't know if he got a chance to spend much time with any players, but if he did, could you get a feel for what those connections were like?
Zeb was there. So you familiar with Zeb?
Yeah, Zeb Jackson. Yeah.
Yep. So as soon as we walked in, Zeb was like, JB. And that's Jaden's nickname, JB. And they were like, yo, what's up? You know, and I was like, whoa, man. You know, and I remember Zeb, but I didn't know Jaden and Zeb knew each other like that.
Okay.
You know, so they started talking about the camps they had been together when they were at the Under Armour camp a couple of years ago. I think it was Curry's camp out in California. And, you know, just talking back and forth about different tournaments that they played in at the same time. Never played against each other. But, you know, again, because Jaden played up all the time, you know, they would be on the same level. So that was great because, you know, Zeb got a chance to take him to different places without us. Mm. And I really wanted Jaden to be able to talk to Zeb because, you know, Zeb made the decision to come here from a, you know, a highly touted school as well. Like IMG, he came from Mount Verde. What was the transition like coming from a, you know, a major program, high school program to Michigan, and why he made that decision? And I wanted that to come from Zeb directly to Jaden without, you know, any coaches around, any parents around. So he got a chance to, you know, spend some time with him. And I thought we were really fortunate to have that conversation.
Okay. So as you weigh all this criteria, I guess one of the ones that I'm assuming is not an issue based on the fact that he's at IMG is distance. Is distance from home going to play a role in this at all?
No, we're originally from Rochester, New York. Which is really not that far from Detroit. Same weather.
Right, right.
We're down in Carolina. We've been down in Charlotte for 6 years. Lot different weather. Jaden doesn't mind the weather, doesn't mind the distance. He's a kid that says this. Like, you know, a lot of coaches always talk about, you know, possibly one and done. And it's that. Jaden is a kid who says that as long as it takes. Okay. I want to compete. So it's like, you know, his mom's done something right with him.
You know, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, this is why it's always important to talk to the principals in the matter, whether you're talking about the young man or his family. The narrative is, oh man, he's looking to go to the G League right now. I don't know if you've heard that, but that's out there pretty strong.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, I heard that.
Yeah, so I mean, they obviously aren't getting that from Jaden. You know what I'm saying? Where is that coming from?
I mean, as you know, media is tough. Like, it's funny because a lot of times we'll see, like, what do they call that? The crystal ball.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, who did they talk to get this crystal ball? Like, it's incredible. Like, what is this? This is crazy, you know? Crystal ball, he's going to University of Toledo. I'm like, okay. Like, you know, I mean, it just amazes me that when people come out with the crystal ball, because you would think that they spoke to us or Jaden and they had, you know, this crystal ball. Mm-hmm. But that's definitely not the case.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Hey, man, I've put in a crystal ball or two in my day. But it's always
to the source?
It is always well sourced for sure. All right. And that's why I'm talking to you now. Because, look, man, the other thing that was out there was like, look, Michigan isn't even there. Like when you told me he was coming on the visit.
Right.
That was like Titanic because – it was being reported. No, seriously, because people were reporting Michigan not is Kentucky or North Carolina. Michigan's not even a factor.
That, That's what I'm talking about. Like, like one of the things we wanted to do, and I saw this yesterday, and I try to stay off social media, and my friends just send me this stuff all the time. But they saw people put up the top four schools, you know, Michigan obviously being one, and it was all the visits that we're making, you know, Michigan, Arizona, Alabama, North Carolina for the month of June. One of the things we chose to do as visits for June, where we wanted to go places we had never been before, because we were fortunate enough to do unofficials before COVID. And as a sophomore, we wanted to kind of see other cultures than we had previously saw. Mm-hmm. So we've been to Kentucky, you know, we've been to other schools that are recruiting us. I can go down a lot of some of these schools, but we have been there, and we just wanted to kind of go to some places we had never been before. And we also are not traditionally, like people say, okay, we've narrowed down to our final five. Like, that's what social media says we have to do. You know, we don't have to do that.
Right.
Know, we don't necessarily have to do that.
Yeah. So your point is the schools you're visiting aren't the only schools you're considering or he's considering.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It makes sense. See, and again, why it's always important to go to the source. So what about this timeline? I mean, is this something that he is going to push into the fall, you know, get into October, November before he makes a decision, or is he looking to do something sooner than that?
Yeah. So the timeline is being discussed with all the schools that are recruiting him, and he's going to make a decision prior to his senior season.
Okay.
So he wants to definitely play. He wants to make that decision because we want him to play his senior season. You know, hopefully not that he ever looks like he's under some pressure or, you know, we just want him to be free and just go out and play and enjoy his senior season.
So man, I wonder how the dynamic with Jet works. Does he like put in a word for his pops? Does he wear a different hat like you do? Like you got the dad hat and the coach hat, and you don't mix them. What about with Jet? Is it like a friend hat and recruiting hat, or how does that work?
Jet's a politician. He's recruiting. Like a couple of the like, and I showed this to Jay the other day. I said, "You ever seen this interview that Jet did?" And he's like, "No, I never saw this." So Jet, I forget who was interviewing him, and they were like, "This is the best point guard I've ever played with." Like, you know, yeah. I'm like, what, Jet? Like,
hey, well, Jet, hey, he might be being political, but he that doesn't mean he's not telling the truth.
It definitely doesn't. Like, and again, yesterday, social media, I didn't see it, but I guess Jet posted him up on his page. Like, that's my guy. But the IMG guys, they do that often. Like, you know, I don't know if it's something that's drilled in from their coaching staff, which I think is pretty good. Excellent staff. That, you know, you support each other these ways. But if there's like a video out from Jet or from Jarris Walker, the whole team will post it up. You know what I mean? And vice versa. They support each other. You know, that brotherhood is really, really thick. Probably at least once a day, I see Jaden on a FaceTime with four or five of his teammates. Yo, what's up? I'm like, man, y'all just left each other, man. Your school was out last Wednesday, but at least once a day, they're all on there, you know, chatting it up, catching up, talking junk, laughing and giggling. They're really close.
So, man, my last couple for you, it's another interesting dynamic at play because, you know, a lot of the schools you're considering, obviously they're recruiting other guys too.
Sure.
What's interesting is, I mean, some of these schools are like recruiting Jaden and a guy that might be visiting the next week. Like, you know, like same like Carolina, for instance, and Michigan are both recruiting Seth Trimble. Are you guys, is that something that you guys factor into your equation? Who else they're looking at? Who else they have on the roster already? How does that play into his thought process, if at all?
I think that what plays in our thought process is we're familiar with the roster. What we would like moving forward is that we want to make sure there's like, it's not transfer because the portal is so huge and a lot of people use that for recruiting. We don't want to commit somewhere and then they bring in somebody from the portal the year we're coming in.
Yeah.
So that's something that we think about and that's conversations that, you know, we have with schools. Other kids, you know, in the same class, that like, it's not really going to, it's not going to speed Jaden up. Mm-hmm. You know, we wish them luck, and we want our fit to be the right fit. So if somebody kind of, you know, for lack of better words, beats us to the punch, then we feel like, you know, that was the right move for both those parties, you know, to work out, and we wish them all the luck in the world. But we won't, Jada won't be sped up. I've tried it.
Yeah, you tried to get him to shoot, tried to speed him up. Yeah, none of that's working. I got you.
Can't do it.
All right, man. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure. And if you're gonna be at Peach Jam in the top 100, I'll see you at one or both of those places.
Yeah, lock me in. Hit me up.
All right, man. Appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate you. All right.
So, Tim, I think we can say, if nothing else, based on that interview, Michigan has a great shot. Now, won't say that they lead. But, you know, there's a misconception out there that this is a Kentucky-North Carolina battle. Dad said, no, if you look at his list of official visits, those are just the schools that they hadn't seen yet. So they wanted to use officials on those. They're still considering other schools that they've seen unofficially. But make no mistake, regardless of how many schools they're considering, I don't think it's presumptuous to say that Michigan is one of the top contenders for Jaden Bradley.
Exactly. And I think it's a great idea to get on as many campuses as you possibly can. It just, you know, if Michigan and Juwan Howard are the leaders, then why not give Jaden plenty of opportunities to compare and contrast, get on these other elite program campuses and meet the coaches. And so if you really like Michigan and everything they offer, then somebody's going to have to blow you away and present something that's better. And I think it's a real advantage.
Yeah. So, Tim, one of the things I can't wait, whether Jaden goes to Michigan or not, you know, I can't predict the future, know what he's going to do. I can't wait to watch him at the NBA Players Association Top 100 camp. I know that Jaden's going. I think it's, you know, folks have been wondering, are they going to have an MBPA camp? Yes, there is going to be one, right, Tim?
There is, and it's going to be in Orlando at the Disney Complex, and all the details are still being worked out, and I'm not going to mention any dates or any you know, who's getting invited, but the Top 100 camp will occur this year.
Absolutely. So, folks, again, great, terrific insight from a couple of coaches who are also dads. Timmy Mack, Nathan Bradley. Hope you enjoyed this bonus episode of the Michigan Basketball Insider. Of course, if you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. They can find it wherever they get their podcasts: Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, wherever they get it. And want to preview the next one, Tim, because the next podcast, we have an outstanding guest. You care to tell the people who we have coming up on our next episode?
Well, from one big man to another, I am excited for us to talk to Hunter Dickinson, the All-American center, the All-Big Ten standout, who's now in the draft combine. He's going through the process, which I think is a great idea. And we're going to find out a little bit about his career. And one of the questions I'm going to ask him is, I want you to self-evaluate yourself. What are your strengths that you're taking into the future, and what are the weaknesses if you want to be an NBA player that you need to sharpen up a little bit?
Yeah, great stuff. And I think this might be the third time Hunter's been on the pod. I mean, this will be like the record. I think this is appearance number 3 for Hunter Dickinson on our podcast.
He's good. That's the reason. I want to have him 4 times.
As do I, Tim. As do I, folks. So be sure to stay tuned or to tune back in for the next edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount+, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.